Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome the listeners to the program, but also to welcome to the show the four exciting and dynamic personalities who are going to play the game this week. We welcome back two of the original players of the game who've been with us for many years and still playing with great aplomb. That is Clement Freud and Peter Jones, and two of the younger generation of comedians who have shown such skill in Just a Minute. That is Tony Hawks and Fred Macaulay. Would you please welcome all four of them. And this particular recording of Just a Minute comes from the Students' Union in the ancient Scottish University of St. Andrews. And we have an audience in front of us who are looking so excited. Undergraduates, graduates, profs, doctors, lecturers. Absolutely everyone is here in the audience waiting to hear Just a Minute again. Elaine Wigley sits beside me. She has a stopwatch. She has a whistle. She's going to keep the score and blow that whistle when 60 seconds is up. And I'm going to ask our four talented panelists to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them. And, of course, they have to try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this week we're going to begin the show with Tony Hawks. Tony Greens. That's the subject. Can you talk about greens in Just a Minute, starting now?
A few weeks back, I was told a very unsavory joke by a small child on the subject of greens, which I think perhaps I'll share with you, although maybe I shouldn't. It's, what's the difference between broccoli and bogies? You can't get children to eat broccoli. Now, this is most...
Fred Macaulay challenge.
A repetition of the word broccoli. Oh.
Those are the rules of Just a Minute. You can't repeat words. That's why it's so difficult to keep going. But, Fred, you challenge. It's a correct challenge. You get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of greens, and there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
There may be 41 seconds left, Nicholas, but there are 18 famous greens here in St. Andrews, and what a fine place it is. Famous for...
Oh, Clement challenge.
Repetition of famous.
There was too much famous, and it is famous, yes. And 32 seconds available for you, Clement Freud, having gained a point for a correct challenge, to talk on greens, starting now.
I could have said cabbage, kale, spinach, peas, beans, broccoli, asparagus, but as we are in St. Andrews, which is a great centre of golf, I thought I would talk about the greens here and...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. So we hear from everybody in the first round. Isn't that exciting? Peter, 16 seconds are available. The subject's with you, having gained a point for a correct challenge. Greens, starting now.
The Americans have gone to great trouble to try to persuade children to eat greens, namely spinach, and they invented this character called Popeye and his androgynous girlfriend, Olive Oil.
Oh, Tony got in just before you got her name out.
I just wanted to know how you were spelling that.
O-L-I-V-E-O-I-L.
And
there's no obligation to spell it, is there?
Absolutely not. 3 seconds are available for you, Tony, having got the subject back. Greens, starting now.
Honestly, what a family the Greens were. I wish they'd never moved in there.
Tony Hawks was then speaking as the whistle went, and whoever does that in this game gains an extra point. So he's in the lead at the end of the round. Everybody else is equal in second place. Peter Jones, the next round is a fence. That's the subject. Would you take it, please, and start now?
A fence is like Fagin, a man who buys stolen property and sells it at a great profit. And if you see anybody doing this, I suggest that you try to stop them using whatever means you can. Sit on them, if you like. Sitting on a fence is a kind of a citizen's arrest, and it is the best thing to do if you catch them at it.
Clement, you challenge first. Yes, hesitation. We interpret that as 31 seconds, a fence starting now.
At entry, where the Grand National is run every year, there are a number of fences which have endearing names, like the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth.
Attorney challenged.
Well, he's talking about lots of fences here, rather than a fence.
And I think Beecher's came before the eighth or the ninth, so in sequence I don't think it was actually correct. But so, Tony, a correct challenge. 13 seconds starting now.
I don't know whether any of you are interested here in the audience tonight, but I have 300 video recorders backstage, which I am trying to shift, which Peter Jones handed over to me earlier.
Tony Hawks was again speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Fred McCauley, will you take the next round? The subject, friends. Tell us something about friends in just a minute, starting now.
Well, it used to be that you could talk about friends and people assumed you were mentioning your amigos or your buddies or your close pals. But ever since the arrival in these shores of the sitcom, you can't mention the word without people saying, who do you fancy most? Is it Monica or Rachel? Maybe it's Phoebe, the ditzy blonde one. And of course, for people who are attracted to the male of the species, there's Tony, the dim but handsome one. Chandler, who I assume is everybody's favourite. And of course, the learned...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of course.
Yes, I'm afraid you did say of course before.
That's all right.
I know. It's in the rules, right? 30 seconds. Clement, you have friends starting now.
Nicholas Parsons recently had his 50th anniversary in show business. And a number of his friends turned up. Actually, quite few, but they all appeared in Hello magazine some weeks after the occasion, and I remember seeing pictures of Mrs. Chairman.
Fred McCauley challenge.
There was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. 5 seconds, Fred, on friends starting now.
Well, I count myself as a very lucky man because I've got friends like Tony Hawks, who has asked me on many an occasion...
Clement, your turn to begin. The subject is porter. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A porter is someone who carries your bags, usually for money. And they are sometimes called porter. And they drink porter, which is a sort of darkish beer, quite often created by putting a red-hot poker into ale and giving it a hue as well as a smell, which is indicative of the action taken by brewers to create porter.
Peter Jones's challenge.
I'm surprised. He's quite wrong about it making something into porter, putting a poker in it. Porter is brewed like beer with malt and hops and so on, and it's rich and very nourishing.
Have you tried putting a poker into it?
Peter, I would incline to... Your culinary knowledge convinces me that you deserve the point and the subject, and there are 32 seconds, Peter, starting now.
If you've ever seen that wonderful play, The Barrett of Wimpole Street, you may remember a scene in which the father, Barrett, tries to persuade his daughter, Norma Shearer...
Freud has challenged you.
Two Barretts.
There were two Barretts, I'm afraid, yes.
Yes, there were. Yes. There were a lot of Barretts at, in Wimpole Street.
Yeah, that's right. Porter is back with you. 21 seconds available, Clement, starting now.
At London Airport, they now have porters who carry messages stating...
Tony Hawk's challenge.
A repetition of carry from the first time you were talking.
Carrying, I said the first time.
Oh! I tell you what, as I can't actually judge on this one, I now turn...
Why can't you judge?
To the superior wisdom of this audience, St. Andrews, which I love to do. So I would like you to be the final judge. Did he say carrying or carry before? If you agree with Tony Hawks, you cheer for him. And if you disagree, you boo for Clement Freud. And you all do it together now. Thank you for listening so well. Tony, you have 15 seconds on porter starting now.
If a porter isn't working hard enough on your behalf, you can always threaten him with a red-hot poker. This always does the trick in my experience. They must be very miffed at the way at airports now they have these free trolleys.
Peter Jones challenged.
You can't just pick up a red-hot poker.
Really have got a real thing about red-hot pokers, haven't you, Peter?
Well, I haven't. I don't keep bringing them up. Other people are bringing them up all
so
the time.
What you're saying is deviation because you can't pick up a red-hot poker.
Yes.
If the handle is sufficiently desensitized, you can pick it up. Why else do you think? I mean, if you work in a foundry, they have some red-hot pokers.
No, but you can't pick one up because it's not there. They don't have red-hot pokers all over the place. It keeps running.
If we can't use supposition or fantasy in just a minute, I think we've had it. So, Peter, I have to disagree with the challenge. The benefit
you
of the
think
doubt...
you can find these pokers?
I don't think it would just be the end of the poker that would be desensitized either, would it?
Right. Tony, benefit of the doubt. 2 seconds, Porter, starting now.
Nairi Dawn Porter was in the Foresight Tower. I used to work...
Right. Tony Hawks has increased his lead at the end of that round. The others are almost equal together in second place. And now we have a very golf-type subject, a niblick. And Tony... It's not erotic, I do assure you. Tony, it's your turn to begin, so will you tell us something about a niblick starting now?
If you wander into the hallowed clubhouse of the Royal and Ancient Golf Club here in St. Andrews, hanging on the wall, there is a niblick. Ralph Niblick, his name is, and he was hung there for not wearing a tie in the bar. It is, of course, I jest, an old wooden club used mainly for getting out of bunkers. Herr Hitler...
Sigmund Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Is used for getting balls out of bunkers.
I think it's a subtle challenge, but we have to give you the benefit of the doubt. Clement, 30 seconds. A niblick starting now.
A niblick was once called a blinky, an anagram of niblick, because of the speed with which the ball was hit out of a blunker.
You can't hit a ball out of a blunker. A blunker has balls all around it.
Yes, it is a little deviant from the knowledge of golf that I possess. So, back with you, Tony. A niblick, 18 seconds, starting now.
I have a trusty old niblick. I intend to use it tomorrow when I shall play golf with Fred McCauley on the old course. I will get it out on the fifth hole, I mean, and beat him round the head with it. Because, frankly, they're useless clubs made of a substance which will not propel a ball...
And you will see a few niblicks in the Royal and Ancient if you go and look there. Yes, they did actually use them, and they did get round the course of them. And Tony Hawks, you kept going with the subject till the whistle went, gained that extra point, and you have increased your lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. A blue stocking. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Oh, it's a phrase used to describe women, girls very often, who used to study to the exclusion of not much else. Now, one blue stocking, of course, doesn't make a pair. And I suppose if one wore one blue stocking, it would be someone who was sort of half interested in studying. I don't know. When I was a boy, about 8 years old, I lived next door to a family who had a daughter of about my age. And once she called me into the sitting room there when her parents were out, and she revealed that she was interested in something called romance, which I didn't actually know what she meant. I hadn't ever heard the word, probably, because my parents didn't get on all that well, and they didn't ever use that word.
Oh. They were all agog. They want you to get to the nitty-gritty of that story, Andrew.
Well, I know.
Anyway, Peter, yes. A point for speaking as the whistle went. Other points in the round. You're 9th, 3rd place, just behind Clement Freud, but Tony Hawkes is still our leader. Fred McCauley, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the old course, which you mentioned earlier, but tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Yeah, Tony mentioned that we're going to be playing golf there tomorrow, which comes as a bit of a surprise to me because I brought my basketball boots. But never mind, I'll try and avoid him and his niblick as we walk down the 5th, which, as you know, is one of the many holes there, 18 to be precise. There's the burn, followed by the dyke, if I remember correctly, cart gate, then, of course, the curiously named ginger beer, which came as a surprise and a shock to the large American golfer John Daly, recovering alcoholic, when he played there and won the Open Championship in 1995. Then there are 6, 7, 8, which have got curious names, but none so odd.
Clement Freud challenged, yes. What is a challenge?
I thought there was a hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation, Clement. So tell us something about the old course, this famous, the most famous golf course in the world. 20 seconds are still available, starting now.
One always wonders when a place was called the old course, because having been built, it must have been the new course. And over the years, I suppose, people have said, where are Fred and Tony going to play? And they say, the old course, I should think.
Tony Hawkes, you're still in the lead. Clement Freud is in second place. Then Peter Jones, then Fred McCauley. And Clement, your turn to begin. 7th heaven. Some find it on the old course. Some find it in St. Andrews. Where do you find it, Clement? 60 seconds, starting now.
7th heaven is pretty low down in heavens. I mean, the 1st heaven has got 3 Michelin stars, is absolutely brilliant. When you get to the 7th heaven, I doubt there'll be much more than a buffet and a sweet trolley. I have no intention of going down as far the line as 7, so let us think where one would go beyond. Is there an 8th heaven? If there is, I haven't heard of one. What would you get there, and when does it become hell? These and many other questions I would like to leave to my colleagues in this game, who only have to press their buttons in order to persuade me to stop this.
Tony, you have a challenge. What is it?
Everything stopped, and I thought...
Which we interpret as hesitation.
Yeah.
7th heaven is with you. 12 seconds are available, starting now.
Presumably, Peter Jones was in 7th heaven, as a young 8-year-old, he was invited into his neighbour's house, where romance began. What a marvellous opportunity to him to discover at this early age...
Tony Hawkes again speaking as a whistle went, gained the extra point and has increased his lead, and he also takes the next round. And the subject, Tony, is rectors. Very apt for here. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Any further educational establishment worth its salt should have a prestigious figure as its rector. Why then should a seat of learning like St. Andrews University...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
How do you spell prestigious?
Any other challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No, but he asked me to spell something.
He asked you to spell androgynous, which we can't, prestigious. So, Peter, they enjoyed the challenge. You got a round of applause for it, so we give
really?
You a bonus point for your remarks. But Tony was interrupted, so he gets a point for being interrupted. Keeps the subject rectors with you, Tony, starting now.
Why, then, did they choose Nicholas Parsons as theirs? What kind of drugs are they on? And as far as...
Fred McCauley, challenge.
There was a bit of a stumble there. I'm going to claim a hesitation.
It doesn't matter what he said, you'd have it anyway.
Yeah.
Right, 38 seconds, Fred. Rector, starting now.
I'm wholly in agreement with Tony that learned places of education should have outstanding rectors. I was fortunate enough to be at Dundee University, and the rector at that time was none other than Clement Flory. I'm... I'm in awe of being in his presence again and seem to have got away with that little fluff. I don't think anybody...
You've been challenged, actually. Oh, was I? You're challenged. Clement, your challenge.
Fluff.
Fluff, yes. A deviation from the name as we understand it. So, Clement, a correct challenge, 24 seconds on rector, starting now.
When I was elected rector of Dundee University, the secretary approached me and said, "We are extremely pleased that it was you who was selected." And I said, "Why?" And he replied that I was the only one who would fit into Peter Ustinov's gown. He had been my predecessor, and it saved them purchasing new clothing for this high office.
So, Clement Freud kept going to the whistle when gained the extra point. He's still in second place behind our leader, Tony Hawkes, and Fred McCauley's turn to begin. Fred, the subject is Scrabble. Tell us something about that in just a minute, please, starting now.
Well, I've gone on record in the past as saying that the only decent thing you can mention about the Welsh language is if you're playing Scrabble and you've got seven consonants, you're laughing. L-P-G-W-D-S-V is a word pronounced... translates into English as, "Forgive me, I have a viral infection." And it's worth about 37 points. And I don't think there is anybody more boring on God's earth than these Scrabble freaks that can tell you what the points value is of every word you utter to them. You know the type.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I've known golf players who are pretty close.
Repetition of points as well. Points.
Points.
Yeah, so, yeah, I like that, I like that. Get a bonus point for Peter for that particular round of applause. And you challenging on what, on the repetition?
Well, conceit, really.
He did repeat points.
Yes, he did.
Yes, that's right. Well done, Peter. So you have a... You also have a point for a correct challenge, and 29 seconds for you on Scrabble, starting now.
Yes, it's a pretty boring game, in my opinion, but it can be played on aircraft when you're not able, really, to play cards satisfactorily. And if you like crossword puzzles, which I don't much, then you are probably very well into Scrabble. The word, of course, can also be used to describe scrabbling, which is a kind of...
Fred challenged.
Yes, a hesitation there.
A hesitation, a very strong
more
than one, actually. Fred, you got back in on Scrabble with 4 seconds to go, starting now.
I always feel as though I've cheated a bit if I use the blank square in Scrabble. But
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of square.
Yes, you talked about squares before, I'm afraid. Oh. And Clement's got in with only half a second to go on Scrabble, Clement, starting now.
Q.
So, a lot of points were scored in that round, but as we approach the last round of the contest, Tony Hawkes is still in the lead. Just 2 points ahead of Clement Freud, 1 point ahead of Peter Jones, that's Clement, and a few points behind is Fred McCauley. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. Trifles is a subject, Clement. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A trifle, which the French call le trifle, is a sort of pudding which can contain almost anything, usually cake, alcohol, jam, custard, cream, hundreds of thousands.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, it can't contain almost anything. It's not. It's an exaggeration.
You couldn't put a red-hot poker into it. No, logically,
shin of beef wouldn't go too well either.
You're quite right. Logically, it could not contain anything, so a correct challenge to you. 44 seconds available to tell us something about trifles, starting now.
But if you use as a base some sponge cakes and a lot of sherry or some similar liqueur, and you add fruit that is available in the house, sometimes raspberry jam, that adds a lot to it, and a few split almonds, it can be a very nice dish topped with thick whipped cream. It's not exactly on a sort of diet. It's not. It's got a lot of cholesterol.
Tony Hawkes has challenged.
Well, of course it's not on a diet. It's a pudding.
Tony, another point to you and 19 seconds to tell us something about trifles starting now.
My step-grandmother used to make the most magnificent trifles. She'd bring them down in the morning because she'd make them at night, God knows why, and she'd say, Tony, look what I've made you. I'd say it's a trifle. She'd say, yes, nothing much gets...
Fred Macaulay challenge.
A repetition of the word see.
Yes, well done, Fred. So, on the last round, like the first, we're hearing from everybody. Isn't that nice? 7 seconds for trifle with you, Fred Macaulay, starting now.
Trifles is worth 37...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
What?
Trifles is.
Well, if you'd like let me finish the sentence...
I don't like trifles is.
Well, I'm going to...
Justify yourself.
I was going to say trifles is worth 37 points on a Scrabble board.
So, Fred, you get a point for being interrupted and a point for your justification, which the audience enjoyed. Clement, you challenged again.
Is not worth 37 points.
But he didn't say that in just a minute. He was justifying it outside the context.
It depends where you put it as well, doesn't it?
That's right. I was counting a triple letter score on the F.
Fred, 4 seconds to continue, starting now.
I remember well my school days and the lunches that we used to have in the...
So Fred Macaulay speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, gained a large number of points in that game. He's only played the game 3 times before, so his contribution was marvellous. He came from lying nowhere, actually, and with that last flourish, he leapt forward to be alongside Peter Jones and Clement Freud in second place. Just 3 points ahead was Tony Hawk. So, Tony, with the most points, we say, you're the winner this week. So... it only remains for me to thank our 4 intrepid players of the game for their delightful and interesting contributions, Clement Freud, Tony Hawkes, Peter Jones, and Fred Macaulay. We do thank this wonderful animated student audience here at this wonderful University of St. Andrews. Thank you for coming. Beside me, I must thank Elaine Wigley for the way she kept the score and blew her whistle. We must thank Ian Messiter, who created the game. Anne Jobson produces and directs, and we are deeply grateful to her. But from all of us here... to our listeners, without whom we would not be in work, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, goodbye.